Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
So Sherry says, no drive-thru in Horicon, no grocery store, two Quick Trips, though. I love that. We are obsessed with Quick Trip in Wisconsin, and a Dollar General. Sherry, it sounds like you have to do a bit of driving to get your necessities. She also says, I loved Supertramp. And then on the text line, Jim from Appleton says, an old theater is the perfect fit, a perfect place for ghosts. Not the Meyer, but another old show house. I was in Jesus Christ Superstar as a bad guy, high priest, guard. This left me with too much time looking at the cast on stage. We would have had a company of 40 or 50 people, but for many of the crowd scenes, there were 60 to 80 players on stage, most of whom I had never seen. I loved it. It helped sell the scenes. All right, Jim. Jim never disappoints with his texts. And Carla from Baraboo says, the Meyer Theater sounds like a super great place. Thank you, General Manager. Plus, if I gave you my drive-thru story, well, I might be the guest speaker for the entire show. Many stories, but wasn't paid for my experiences. That's your aunt, Conrad. Get her to fess up. I want to hear all these stories. Come on, Aunt Carla.
Sounds good.
Yeah, bring it. We have a few more minutes here with Matt Gable, the general manager of the Meyer Theater. You just talked about Peter Jest, another guest I've had on the show, yeah, who has a new book out. And John Prine. Tell that again. I love that. All these people that just died.
Well, it just is eerie that we've had so many people in the 6 months to a year. They've all unfortunately passed away. You know, John wasn't one of them that we've had within the year, but he did just pass away. Gordon Lightfoot, George Winston, Louis Anderson, John Panette, Joan Rivers, Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell, I bet that was a show.
Yeah, that was his farewell tour. He's super nice guy, but you could definitely tell it was canned. You know, when he was talking to everybody,
yeah,
they sort of probably coached him on what to say and stuff like that.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, he was a super great guy.
How did Gordon Lightfoot, when he was there, what kind of, did you sell out when Gordon Lightfoot
was
coming through?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Okay. I mean, I don't know if we were completely sold out, but it looked like a full house. So probably anywhere between 800 to 1,000 people. But yeah, I mean, he, you know, is just a great singer, songwriter, storyteller.
So many hits.
Yeah, I mean, at the end, you know, you could tell, like a lot of artists, it's like if you go see Willie Nelson now, it's...
Oh, man.
Right. Or
I still want to see him, though.
Right.
You know, I mean, but yeah.
You know, it's sometimes it can be tough. It's not the voice that you remember, you know, growing up. And I don't, you know, Gordon, I don't think was either.
Yeah.
It's the same way with a lot of them.
Right.
You're going just to see them as their last time or legend or whatever. So...
For sure.
But yeah, so it's... again, I've been blessed to meet and see a lot of people and book a lot of people.
It's a great gig, man. Yeah. That's so cool. You have the Gatlin Brothers coming up. Not a tribute, the actual Gatlin Brothers.
Yep.
That'll
Gatlin
be a Brothers. Fun show,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. No, I mean, the country has always done really well for us. Actually, country and comedy are two of our biggest things that we do because it's a great house for it. You know, we've had country artists that have started their career there. Luke Bryan, Zach Brown.
Started their
Chris
career.
Young. Yeah, Chris okay. Young. You know, I don't know, so many other of the country artists. Yeah. I love these
old country guys though. Yeah. Like that's the stuff I remember. Like, cause when Casey Kasem would do the top 40, there were country songs in there too. It was all one thing.
Right.
So I knew more country then than I do now. And I would go see the Gatlin Brothers, you know? So what do you do? Well, like when you're done, you see a ton of live theater, obviously. Mm-hmm. When you're done and you go home, what does Matt Gable watch on TV? You got any binge-watching suggestions?
I'm a big sports guy, but I'm a big movie guy.
Okay.
Like, watching movies is probably, and I'm a little nervous because I feel like movie theaters, I don't know, in 10 years, they're still going to be there.
Oh, come on, man.
I know.
I hope they are.
Me too. It's one of my favorite things to do. Go in a movie theater.
Same.
And sit there and with the surround sound and just have that experience for me is top on my list. I really enjoy it.
With other people,
with other people and all that kind of stuff. So I hope that always stays around, but I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about it, Pete. So,
but don't you think if they were going to go away, I mean, they've weathered things so far, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying they haven't had to adjust their business plan or whatever, but like, it seems like they're hanging in there okay. They might have to make them smaller, but I think it has to do
with
the,
you might know a little bit more about this too. The movies, you know, with Netflix now and all that, making the Netflix are making movies, and I don't know how all that works though. Like, are the movie studios, are they profitable? Are they putting out enough movies? I don't know how.
You know what's crazy is, like, you just mentioned Netflix. They have 278 million subscribers now. So $24 a month times that, do the math. They just create their own content. They don't care about the gate or right. the box office. Like, whereas these, like Marcus Theaters,
yeah,
they need that return. And they've got it. It's come back this summer, but it was a little sketchy there mm-hmm. for a while. So
for sure.
It's two totally different things.
And some movies come out on Netflix, but then they go right there, come out in the movie theater and Netflix, and it's yeah, a little confusing. And it's just, I don't know. You know, I loved Ozark, to go back to your question.
Oh, yeah, good show.
I loved watching that. I'm actually looking. I'm in the middle of looking for something, so if anybody has any suggestions.
Presumed Innocent.
Okay.
On Apple with Jake Gyllenhaal and just real. I mean, I saw the movie with Harrison Ford 30 years ago.
Uh-huh, yep.
And I think I read the book by Scott Shirow. I still don't remember what happened exactly, and they're doing a good job of disguising it. I want to say maybe the last episode aired last night of the season, but I've been watching that. That's been okay. really good. And I watched, I like noir stuff. So I like Sugar with Colin Farrell on Apple okay. TV too. Like, he's like a PI,
uh-huh.
but there's this crazy twist in the middle of the season. No one saw coming. So, those are two I would recommend if you're looking for a show to binge,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
But, have you been to any of the blockbuster movies this summer or taking the kids?
Not too many. No, okay. Nope. I've been busy with baseball. Me and my son actually are watching Receiver right now on.
Oh, I've heard that's good.
On, cause he plays football too. So he's a wide receiver. So he's big into that. So,
nice.
But yeah, so we just watch that stuff and watch a lot of sports.
What's your favorite sports movie?
I got two of them. The Natural is probably my favorite of all time.
Great.
I there's so many lines from that, and the movie's so great.
Yeah.
Hoosiers is another one.
Hoosiers is now, how do your kids feel about Hoosiers? Do they like it too?
No. I mean, I don't think it relates to them as much as it yeah. does, like, our age, I guess you could say. You know, a small I don't know if they see as it could actually happen. You know, it's sort of like a fairy tale where back then, you know, it did happen.
Yeah.
And
it happened at Marinette Catholic Central High School. They beat Appleton Xavier for the state, I think for the state championship, and they did exactly kind of what they did in Hoosiers. They slowed everything down mm-hmm. and spread the offense. And that was an actual Hoosier story in 1963.
Yeah.
And Rocky Blyer, I want to say Rocky Blyer played on that team. There's some crazy, I don't know. But they talk about it a lot.
And I just don't think it could happen today
yeah,
with
not.
The kids and the athleticism and all that kind of stuff.
You don't think the two-handed set shots coming back?
Might not work out.
What about Remember the Titans?
It was good. I loved it. You know, Major League is one of my favorites.
Great
you know,
movie.
Bob Uecker was great.
Caddyshack?
Caddyshack was a great one. Yeah. Sports is, there's just so many of them that are good. Yeah,
that's great.
I don't know. What's your favorite movie of all time?
I'm so into cop movies lately. I love like L.A. Confidential. I'll tell you a movie I love that's a Michael Mann film that's not, people have kind of heard of it, but is Collateral with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yep.
I mean, mostly just movies I go to, like my son and I watch a lot. We'll rewatch.
Yep.
We put it on. It's like comfort food or something, mm-hmm. you know, but best all time. I don't know. I've got.
There's so many of
There's
them,
so
right?
many, it's hard to choose, but maybe we can get into that. I'd love to have you back sometime, Matt. This
happy
is fun.
To be back. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Matt Gable, ladies and gentlemen. Conrad, how about a round of applause for Matt Gable? That's as best we can do here tonight.
Yeah, it's great.
Keep up the great work,
I will.
We'll see you at the Meyer. It's great stuff.
Come
and,
see us.
I would definitely do that. That's Matt Gable. Jake Snell will be here in a few minutes. We heard some of Jake's comedy earlier, and we have a clip I want to play. Do we have time for the Woody Harrelson clip?
Yeah.
Last night, our question of the night was favorite Woody Harrelson movie. The guy's got a resume like crazy. And we put together a little montage from his time on Cheers that we didn't get to last night. So here's that now.
This is amazing. A big city bartender with a joke at the ready.
You from out of town?
Okay, I'll bite. Yeah, I'm from out of town.
Can I help you?
That went right over my head. Excuse me. My name's Woody Boyd.
Woody? Hi, I'm Sam Malone.
Howdy. I'm a friend of Coach's. Is he around?
I'm sorry, Woody. I guess you hadn't heard. No, Coach passed away a couple months ago. But yeah, I'd like to think he's still around.
Can't hardly believe it.
Boy, he had a lot of friends. I don't remember him mentioning a Woody.
Well, we never met. We were kind of like pen pals.
You exchanged letters?
No, pens.
Woody, I refuse to continue playing if every time you take one of my pieces, you go...
I'm sorry, Dr. Perrin. I thought it added a little bit of excitement to the game.
Well, it doesn't. Okay, Woody. You know, I think it's time we took off the gloves. I've allowed you to defeat me several times because I was going easy on you so as not to crush your natural enthusiasm. But I think it's time you took a giant step toward maturity. There are a great many lessons to be learned in defeat. Chief among them is how to lose gracefully.
Checkmate. You missed my king. Beth? You shrunk.
I shrunk. Look at you.
Oh, wow, my hands can touch. This is a dream come true.
Oh,
what are you doing here?
Well, your friends brought me out.
They did? Thanks, guys. You've been so good to me. In fact, next to the Twilly brothers back home, you're the closest friends I have.
Woody, after you left, both Twilly brothers made improper advances to me.
Hey, that makes you my closest friend.
That's Woody Harrelson. And his homage from Cheers in a celebration of his birthday. 62, I think he was, Conrad. You're getting a call, buddy. All right. So Jake Snell is coming up next. The comedian Jake Snell, he will be performing at Madison Comedy Week. And tomorrow night, he'll be at Comedy on State. We heard a little bit of Jake's comedy earlier. Very funny guy. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. John Wayne was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons in 1972 at the age of 64 because they wanted to convey toughness. So they drafted a draft dodger. See how that works? All right. So very exciting. We're going to keep the show moving here. That was very fun talking to Matt Gable, the Meyer Theater. Check it out, folks. A beautiful old theater here in downtown Green Bay. I'm sure everybody here in Northeast Wisconsin is aware of it, but if you're listening from around the state, you ever get up this way, I highly recommend checking it out. It's a real gem here in downtown Green Bay. And right now, we are going to shift our focus a little bit toward laughter. I'm very excited to have this next guy on my show. I've never met him in person, but I've heard all this great stuff about my next guest, Jake Snell. He is a Madison-bred, Chicago-based comedian, and he joins us now on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Jake, great to have you.
Hey, Pete, how's it going? Can you hear me all right?
Can hear you great. Sounds perfect.
Excellent.
Yeah. So how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm well. Are you in Chicago right now, or are you already in Wisconsin?
I am in Chicago, gearing up to leave in the morning to hit Madison.
So let's figure out your trajectory here, because I noticed in your bio it says Madison bred. You live in Chicago now, but you have an area code that is conducive to Milwaukee. So have you been all over the Midwest? How does that work?
Yeah, within this little tiny 200-mile radius, I suppose. I grew up in Kenosha. So then I went to UW-Madison for college, and I started doing stand-up in my fifth year. And that was a perfect trap for someone who's taken a fifth year to fall into.
Now, was Comedy on State the Comedy on State it is now when you started doing stand-up there? Or was it still at the club down the block? Because I worked it when it was close to the Capitol. It was like on the second floor. Now it's gorgeous.
Yeah, they moved before I started, maybe a few years before I started.
Okay.
They were called, at the time, they were called the Comedy Club on State. They rebranded a few years after that to just Comedy on State because that's what everyone was calling it anyways.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So what was that a good club? Is that basically where you started? Would you consider that your home club? And was that a good place to start?
Yeah, actually, so I lived above Paul's Club, which is a bar right next door, one of the historic good old Madison bars that you know, all the comedians and headliners and stuff would all go hang out there after the shows. And I would go to the Wednesday night open mic, which is actually about to happen probably in, let's see, 37 minutes here.
Yeah.
And, you know, the crowd was supportive enough to where all my friends knew that I was really into stand-up, but hadn't really given it a go or really thought about it. But they were like, you know, half the people were really good, and then half the people were definitely trying. But the crowd was like rooting for them. Like you were like kind of it together because they knew it was open mic night. So my friends were kind of like, hey, if you went up, you'd be funnier than half. So go give it a shot. And then, you know, that going up at a club like Comedy on State, it is one of the best clubs in the country. So, you know, that kind of gives you the bug.
I've heard that, and I've heard it's such a great club. It can almost spoil you if you start there. Like, that's how good the crowds are. And the crowd, like a great comedy club, kind of trains its audiences over the years. So they know they can't get away with heckling or being hammered or whatever. So it sounds like a great place to start.
Yeah. The second you actually start doing gigs and really working on your act and you start stepping out to do like stuff on the road, you quickly realize that you are spoiled where you're from.
Yeah.
So it becomes a hard place to leave. I lived in Madison for 12 years total with college involved, but did comedy there for about 6 or 7 just because, you know, you go to a city like Chicago, LA, New York, even Nashville, you have to get in the back of a long line. So being able to be, you know, somewhat near the front of a shorter line, I got to, you know, rub shoulders with some of the great comics that were working.
And it's great. I think like this is ages ago, but when I started in Chicago, that was a great place to kind of get your chops. But my son is very interested in stand-up comedy. I said, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. I knew comics that started in a smaller market like St. Louis or Madison or wherever. And if you become the house MC, you work with every huge comic that comes through and you make great connections that way too. So what made you say I should go to Chicago as opposed to just going to one of the coasts?
Well, you know, there's kind of like an unspoken ceiling of what you can do as a local, right? So if you come up in the scene, it's like you can get to kind of the middle rung where you can, you know, you can work the weekends, you can do your thing. But they also, you know, they want to see you go out and expand and do other things too. So that kind of gives even local bookers a little bit more faith in your abilities. And you do get better when you, you know, go and try to work on stuff in a new scene to break through in a new way. You just get more dynamic. And oftentimes people will see a little bit of a boost in the kind of spots they're able to get when they move away for a little bit and come back.
Right.
Because then you're coming back with fresh material and you're coming back with a little bit more under your belt. So, you know, they like to see that. Like, I don't think they would have headlined me if I was still living in Madison.
Yeah. I love that phrase. It's the hardest to headline in your hometown. You know, they don't respect you until you leave the nest a little bit. So how long have you been in Chicago, Jake? And are crowds different there? Was there an adjustment or is it pretty much, you know, I would imagine you were pretty seasoned by the time you got there and not easily rattled, but how's it going there?
Yeah, I was lucky because I had been working a lot of Chicago rooms and I had gotten into, you know, the club circuit here before I moved. So it wasn't that big of an adjustment to me. It was kind of just more of an expansion because I can still go do stuff, you know, in Madison and do stuff in Chicago. And I get out on the road quite a bit these days. So, you know, once you start to encounter like all different kinds of rooms and demographics. You just kind of, you write jokes with a little bit higher percentage rate of, you know, chance to hit. So, you know, I didn't really see too much of an adjustment in Chicago. It's, you know, 60 miles from where I grew up too. So the people are all pretty similar. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite club in Chicago, Jake?
I perform most at Laugh Factory, which is, it's great because it's kind of like a mini theater. It used to be Lakeview Theater, I believe. And they repurposed it into the, so Laugh Factory is a chain.
Yeah.
So they have one in Vegas and one in Hollywood and one in Chicago. So they repurposed like an old theater space. So you can get like 300 something people in there. And it's got like the balcony seating and kind of feels like a mini theater gig.
Yeah.
So, and that's really where, like, if you're a regular, they work you a lot. So you can get up and try new stuff. And, you know, I would say that's kind of home base in Chicago. But I also really like performing at Zany's because they do a different kind of structure too. So when you're at Zany's, you're often opening for a headliner. And they tend to headline a lot of locals too. So they give a lot of opportunities for people to do longer sets. And, you know, that's kind of the difference there.
It's interesting. That's kind of the club that I started at in the 90s. And then I worked the Laugh Factory when it was out in the suburbs. And Zany's didn't like that. Like, the clubs back then were very competitive. Like, they kind of held it against you a little bit. Is there any of that animosity, or is everybody kind of like work wherever you want?
There is, but I personally don't see it between those two clubs because there was some crossover with employees and stuff. So like in the few years before I moved, and I think it just it became kind of an agreement of like, hey, we're all here. We all have to do all the clubs in order to like really make it worth living here. And
absolutely,
you know, when you see
so
many people,
hold that thought for
one
second. Hold that thought for 1 second. Okay, we got to do a quick thing here, and we're going to come back with more with Jake Snell. We're going to talk about Madison Comedy Week and his night tomorrow at Comedy on State. This is Peach.
You've seen her dressed in blue. See the sky in front of you.
Welcome back to Night Lights. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. We are broadcasting statewide from our beautiful studios here in downtown Green Bay. Great to have you with me on this night where we talk comedy and theater and all the things that bring us together. And what a privilege it is. And what a privilege it is to have a very funny guy on the show, Jake Snell, who you can see tomorrow night at Comedy on State. That's July 25th, tomorrow, Thursday night. Jake, what's that like? Are there still tickets available?
There are. Actually, I can probably pull it up here. Oh, yeah. There's tickets.
Okay.
Tens of tickets have already been sold, people. Tens of tickets.
So how come one night only? You got a weekend gig you're already doing, or how does that work?
No, usually that's honestly for someone at my level, you know, not to take myself down a peg or whatever, but when they have one-nighters that they need to fill. So usually a headliner will be there from Thursday through Saturday doing five shows. And then I was actually booked to feature for the entire weekend and the headliner couldn't do the Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So then they're like, well, but it does still mean a lot for them to kind of bump me up into the headliner spot.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. Yeah.
That's really cool. So you'll be featuring there the next two nights? So people can see you there all weekend. Who's the headliner on Friday and Saturday?
Julian McCullough.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Funny guy, I assume.
Yeah, very funny.
Yeah.
He's been around for a long, long time.
Very cool. So you did a special, Jake. That mm-hmm. is like kind of blows my mind. I never even got close to that level. What was that like? How did that come together?
It was awesome because with Madison Comedy Week, which was born of just the, you know, when we started in Madison, there was very little to do. And so we all the comedians that I kind of started with around the same time, we all started just producing shows in bars. And like I did a wine bar show and people would do all these concept shows. And then we had a bunch of independent shows and we partnered with the club and some other local organizations to start a festival. And then one of the years in the festival, I happened to be turning 30 on the Wednesday of the festival. And I told the owner of Comedy on State that I was thinking about filming something and I was just trying to, you know, think about whether I should do it. And she offered the venue. She offered me the night and she said, why don't you just film it here? And I lucked out because the media guy at Comedy on State had just started shooting specials and, you know, he went on to shoot a bunch of Netflix specials and all this stuff too. And so I had just the right amount of people at, you know, my immediate kind of, I don't want to say disposal, but my immediate access to kind of make that happen. So it was kind of just a serendipitous thing. We did it on my 30th birthday and it was great.
That's amazing. So did you have a good crowd there? Were you happy with the crowd? That's part of the battle, right? Too, is getting a decent crowd in there. How was yours? I mean, it sounded great on YouTube.
I really lucked out because it was on a Wednesday where the crowd is walk up only. So people are used to just coming out. So I didn't really have to worry about ticket sales too much before that. Plus I had enough people locally that were coming out to where I knew that with the usual Wednesday crowd, plus the people I was bringing, plus the comedians from the festival, because there's still 30 other shows going on, that we could pack it out. And we did. So it was great.
So how do you, all right, so doing the special is one thing. You have to have a good set. You have to have a good crowd. It comes together production-wise and looks good. Mm-hmm. How do you get people to watch it, Jake? How do you get the word out? And does the club help you do that? Do you hire a PR person? How does that work?
You know, I thought about, so this, I was going to release it with a company and they do a lot of that. But then I thought about it and I was like, you know, I paid for the whole thing and I'm just going to put it on YouTube and not really worry about if people find it, people find it. And a lot of people did find it. It actually did a lot better than I thought. I just did it as kind of a way to sort of kickstart putting videos on the internet because, you know, that is such a tool for comedians these days. And I hadn't really been doing too much of that. So I did it kind of as a way to have a bunch of stuff to put out there and just like a collection of, you know, the first stuff I did in my 20s that I liked and have something out there. And, you know, it kind of led to some interesting attention too. So I got some cool little opportunities just from doing that. So it was definitely worth it.
Tell us about Madison Comedy Week. What can people expect to find? Where do they go to get tickets? How do they see it?
MadisonComedyWeek.com. All of our shows are listed there. Again, it's a comedy festival with all different kinds of shows. So there's sketch, improv, music, stand up. There's 11 different venues this year, including Comedy on State and the Burr Oak, which is a very popular live music venue in Madison.
Yeah.
There is no bad show the whole time. It goes from Sunday, August 4th to Saturday, August 10th. We've had so much fun doing it every year and comedians come from all over the country. So there's over 100 comedians that are coming into Madison and sticking around for that week to do shows. So multiple shows a night, all different sides of town. So you can do something in the neighborhood. People drive far and wide to come see it. And our kickoff show, we're having headliner Jacob Williams, who was on America's Got Talent and Wild and Out, that Nick Cannon show. That's like a kind of an improv comedy show. We always kind of gather the most eclectic group that we can, and you know, a lot of these people go on to do really big things. They might be, you know, kind of the headliners of tomorrow. So
yeah,
it's a cool event.
That sounds great. It says on your website you're a musician too. I found that a lot of people I met either doing comedy or just in show business in general, there's a great correlation between music and comedy. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. So when I was starting comedy, I actually was playing in a band and we approached a comedian to do the song, like to do a live, bring people up on stage, do a live band at a comedy show. And that was really cool. But then that was, you know, right when I was starting. So all my bandmates moved after college. And then I started to just do the music myself. So I got a loop pedal and I started doing bass guitar and beatbox and making up songs for people as they come on stage. So I actually still have a monthly show that I do the music for in Madison at North Street Cabaret called Comedy at the Cabaret. And that's happening during the fest as well. So I have like a pre-recorded song that I make for people to walk up on stage to. And then I start the song by making up a song, or I start the show by making up a song with the crowd, so they kind of get loosened up before the host goes up there, so the host doesn't have to bite the bullet, you know.
That's great. Is Johnny Beaner going to be at Madison Comedy Week?
Yeah, Johnny Beaner's all over the place. He's on Best of the Fest. He's on the Seasoned Vets Showcase. He does it every year. It's an obvious no-brainer to have him. He's hilarious. One of my favorites. So, yeah, he's
been on the show a few times. I get such a – I love Johnny. He's great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
So, where – all right, so you've done your own comedy special. You made the move from Madison to Chicago. How long have you been in Chicago now?
Almost 3 years.
Okay.
Coming up on 3 years.
So – Where would you like to see the trajectory of your career? Do you want to just be a great stand-up and start selling out maybe small theaters, social media star? You want your own sitcom, Jake? Where do you see yourself?
So I've always been open to different opportunities. I do some voiceover. I do some music. I do some acting. I'd like to just, you know, have enough attention to kind of be able to call the shots where it comes to, you know, where to put my energy.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I want to be a great comic first and foremost. So I want to be able to, you know, tour and have access to, have priority at clubs and all that kind of stuff. This year I went through the audition process for a movie that's coming out and I came very, very close to the end. And then they offered the role to a famous guy and I was going to play, Dan Aykroyd in the SNL 1975.
Oh, nice.
With Jason Reitman. That's going to be coming out. They already made it. But I've been thinking about, you know, if I was just selected on that based on my special. So a casting director just reached out to me. So, you know, if I had some people maybe putting my name out there a little bit more for that kind of stuff, I'd be open for, you know, that kind of opportunity as well.
Do you plan on staying in Chicago, at least for the near future? Or are you going to make a move to one of the coasts?
I think so, because the cool thing about going to a coast right now is that they give you outsider privilege for a little bit. So, like, it's kind of like, you know, if I show up in New York and I get to play an awesome place like the Comedy Cellar, if they knew they had the chance to get me every night, they might, you know, start forgetting about you. So it's a weird little game to play. But, yeah, Chicago feels good for now. You can get out pretty much anywhere you need to go.
Yeah.
You know, major city, cleaner than New York, so... A little cheaper, too.
Yeah, a little cheaper. My guest is Jake Snell. He is a Chicago-based comedian and a Wisconsin native, and you can catch him tomorrow night at Comedy on State for one show, and then he'll be there for the rest of the week, too. And check out MadisonComedyWeek.com to see get all the information you could possibly need off this cool comedy festival that they do down there and that you were instrumental in starting, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Very cool. Who are some of your favorite comedians today, Jake?
I love the classic. I love like Brian Regan.
Oh yeah.
Do you know Brian Regan at
He's
all?
He's great. Yeah.
Got to meet him and hang with him a couple times and that was really solidified that. But I also like, you know, some of the old like dirtier comics. Like I like Patrice O'Neill and like I really like Bill Burr and you know, even like comics that are coming up now, like one of my favorite comics lives in New York. Jordan Jensen is her name. And I just think she's great. So, I mean, it's really all over the place. It's rare that I find a comic who's doing anything noteworthy that I don't at least appreciate. So,
yeah,
you know, I love comedy. So I just love like figuring out what people are doing and what people aren't doing.
That's so great. And that's such a positive answer. Like I could tell you're like kind of a seasoned vet now. Cause if I remember kind of like everybody being sort of competitive, right. When you start out and then you just settle into this chill kind of groove where you can be happy for people that do stuff. Cause you understand the struggle. It's interesting. You said Brian Regan, here's how long Brian's been around. I worked with Brian for 2 weeks in a row in like 1995. And as funny as he is on stage, and maybe you can attest to this, he is hilarious offstage too. Like just in the green room, I was in stitches. He is just a funny human being.
Yeah. And I think that is what contributes to the lore of some of those guys too, where it's like all the, you know, comics rant and rave about, you know, times they got to hang out with them. And, you know, you see what makes somebody be so funny and composed on stage and how that translates to like their daily life.
Tell me the best thing about being a stand-up comedian and the worst thing.
Best thing, getting to play in front of, you know, getting to kind of keep your childlike spirit alive and sort of play and you know, create joy for audiences and to be kind of in a place where you get to be respected and appreciated for that is awesome. Worst thing is probably just how difficult it is for anyone to care. like really, I think that's what most people deal with. I mean, even people at levels higher than myself, you know, they're always just kind of fighting this battle of like, do people care enough? Is this funny enough? Is it silly? What's the point? You know, but if you get enough like-minded people in a room, or even not like-minded, but just people who want to have fun, then, you know, it becomes the best thing all over again. So,
do you like working the road?
I do. I definitely do. There's, you know, obvious caveats. You gotta sleep in a, you know, a Motel 6 in, you know, Beechwood Grove, Indiana, and then just.
Oh, so you work the big rooms too?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. do a lot of comedy nights with a open salad bar and a lot of banquet rooms and casinos where you can still smoke inside and.
Oh, that's that great. Got to pay the rent though, right? You got to take those gigs too.
Yeah, well, those are the things where you really cut your teeth too. I feel like if you can just walk into a place where like a bunch of people were kind of dragged to that show, or like, right. You know, half of them don't want to be there or just aren't happy in general, and then you can leave improving the situation, I think you did your job.
Very well said. Jake Snell is my guest. We'll have a couple more minutes with Jake when we come back. I'm going to ask Jake next what. Jake, I'm going to ask you what you're watching on TV and if you've seen any of the summer movies. We'll have a little TV and movie talk before we let you go. Great having you here, Jake Snell. We'll be back with more with Jake, who you can see tomorrow night at Comedy on State. How do you not go to that? Madison's premier comedy club. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Winding down another night here at Nightlight with comedian Jake Snell, who joins us on the stream. From Andrew in Maine, we don't get many texts from 51541, I should say. Andrew from Maine says, my dad's first job was at the Rialto Theater in Joliet, Illinois. He wore a jacket and hat and had a flashlight. That was in 1941. The theater's still there, and it's beautiful. I think, that's probably very similar to the Meyer Theater here in Green Bay. Andrew also says, Pete, can you ask Jake to start a Green Bay Comedy Week so you don't have to travel as far? I would love that. What do you say, Jake? Help us out.
Yeah, you know, there's people doing cool stuff up in Green Bay. I don't want to step on any toes there, you know.
Have you played the Meyer ever or done stand-up in town here?
I've done stand up in Appleton at that club, Skyline.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to work that a bunch. But nothing really not really in Green Bay proper, but some of the comedians over in Fox Valley area used to kind of do some shows and stuff like that. I would stop in and do out there. I love coming up to Green Bay. I'm a Packers fan, so.
Yeah, you've had a lot to cheer about lately, haven't you?
Hopefully. Jordan Love's not going to training camp until they renegotiate his contract, so already pulling diva moves after a nice seven-game stretch last year.
They got to pay him, though, right?
I mean, I think so, yeah. I think, you know, I always advocate for the player.
Yeah. Got to make money while
you can.
They got
the money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
they have to pay him.
Yeah.
So, Jake, all right, you're done writing. You've done a great show. You just got home. What are you watching on TV?
Man, I'm the worst because I don't really watch TV. I listen to a lot of podcasts, or, you know, I watch like reruns of like old sitcoms. Like I might throw on Cheers and just like appreciate, like, you know, how they used humor and how humor's changed, and like some kind of simple tropes that you still hear about today. Or like I like kind of dissecting the, you know, the sort of aesthetic criteria of different, you know, pieces of comedy and TV and how it was all used and how it's changed. So stuff like that. I mean, I specifically haven't watched the show Ozark. because there's a character with my name who's like the worst guy in the whole show, and it's very random. It felt like an attack. It felt like somebody I know got a job writing on that show and was like, you know who we should make the worst guy? Probably Jake Snell. It's like the worst guy. It's the worst guy on the show.
Who is he? I've seen all the seasons. I can't picture who the guy is, though.
He's an old drug dealer, man.
Okay. Are you worried?
No
that
spoilers, but it doesn't turn out well for him.
Yikes. Well, it's a good thing you don't watch it. Keep every penny you can out of their pocket.
Yeah, right.
So how has comedy changed? Like, I find I don't watch network comedies anymore. I just haven't in so long. And I loved Cheers. I loved Modern Family. I loved The Office. But it seems like anything worth watching is on streaming. So I watch all the comedies like Curb and where they don't have the laugh track and that kind of stuff, the single camera stuff.
Right. Yeah. I think the golden age of network television is in the past, unfortunately, yeah. But I loved it. I mean, like, I even just remember Comedy Central days where it would just be one funny comedy after another and all the little previews and cutaways they would do in the credits and like all that little format stuff that's changed. I was just appreciating that the other day. I watched like a South Park documentary from 14 years ago or whatever about just like, it was like Bill Hader writing an episode of South Park with Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yeah.
But, you know, and even just like primetime sitcoms, like, I don't really know. People say, you know, there's like PC culture and all that stuff that makes it harder to say things, but I think you just have to do a little bit more legwork to make it, you know, more nuanced. I think the average consumer of comedy just has a little bit more nuance in situations, so the jokes become less simple and more involved. But I think that's also an opportunity to make even better points and be more astutely funny.
I agree. That's very well said. Conrad, did you hear he mentioned South Park?
Yeah.
All right. You know what song we have to close with tonight, right?
I think I do.
Stretch those fingers out, buddy. Get it ready. What about any of the summer blockbusters, Jake? Have you seen any, been to the movies this summer or watching anything on streaming?
If you told me right now to name five movies that are currently in theaters for $1 million, I would miss an opportunity at generational wealth by not paying attention to mainstream media. That is how uninformed I am. I don't even know one. What is one that's out right now?
I think you're uninformed that $1 million is generational wealth these days.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Maybe if I die tomorrow.
I've seen a lot of them. And of course now, you know, A Quiet Place Day One, Inside Out Two, Thelma I saw last night. I actually thought it was kind of boring, even though it got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. But there's been some good ones. Yeah, I think the box office has come back a little bit. But have you seen anything? What do you binge watch? Like, if you had to binge watch something tonight, what would it be? And you can't say your
Better
own
Call
comedy
Saul.
Sets. Okay. Better oh, great Saul. One. Yeah. That's one of my favorite ones.
I was really into Breaking Bad, so the Better Call Saul was a natural spinoff.
You know what? And we've had this discussion on this show with a lot of our guests. I'm probably in the minority. I like Better Call Saul better than Breaking Bad. There's just something more believable about it, or maybe it's just Odenkirk. I think he's so great.
It's less of a roller coaster ride per episode, I think, because you can, it's actually like, it follows like a different arc of like emotional manipulation from the screenwriting perspective. Like you're worried about like several different things, but it kind of makes more sense. And there's less like huge surprises. Like Breaking Bad is obviously you're constantly worried he's going to get caught and someone's going to die and something's going to happen. So there's a lot more panic in a show like that. And I don't like always watching things with like panic and fear because it's a bad way to spend leisure time. But, you know, if it's enough suspense and well done, you can get past all
Absolutely.
That.
If you could work with one comic in history, open the show for them or just even hang out with them, who would it be?
That's a real hard question.
Bob Newhart just died.
I was leaning that way just because of, I really liked the format of some of those shows that he would do. And he was like a consummate performer. Like
so great.
Even after he was famous and set for life, and he still was like, I kind of owe it to, you know, the industry to keep performing. So, let's say Bob Newhart.
All right. We're on the same Shout page there. Newhart. That's a great place to end it. Jake, thanks so much for your time tonight, buddy. This was really fun to get to know you.
Yeah. Thanks again, Pete, for having me, and appreciate it. Come out to the shows, guys. Come out to Madison Comedy Week.
Go to Madison Comedy Week, madisoncomedyweek.com, and go see Jake tomorrow night at Comedy on State. And I hope we can do this again soon. Have a great great shows tomorrow night, Jake. Break a leg.
Thanks again, Pete.
You got it. All right, that's Jake Snell. Tomorrow night, Mike Kalf from Comedy Sports will be on the show. And we'll have more fun, and we'll have more laughs, and we'll talk more about show business. It'll be fun. Great to have you with me tonight, everybody. This is Pete Schwabe on behalf of Conrad. Have a great night. Good night, Wisconsin.
Who are you?
I'm Brian Dennehy.
What? No, not Brian Dennehy. Get out of here. Oh.